You're listening to Emails Not Dead, brought to you by Mailgun.
Welcome to Emails Not Dead, your podcast by emo geeks for emo geeks. My name is Eric, and with me as always is my bro Chacho, JT. JT, hey. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right, man. Doing good. Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out. You know, we've had a very busy week so far. Coming off the holiday high, you know, and looking forward to the future. And with that, I think we have a very special guest with us today. Senior Product Director, Product Management at Yahoo, Marcel Becco. Marcel, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. It's a little chilly where I'm at right now. But I'm good otherwise.
Yeah, right on. Where are you at? You don't have to give us your address. You just general regions, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Bay Area in California.
Oh, right on.
I think chilly there is cold for Texas because Texas, it doesn't get too cold. And when it does, it gets really cold. So.
Yeah, right. We're at a balmy like 60 degrees today and it's a little bit humid, but we're okay. We're dealing with it.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah. It's just good to be on here, you know, talking about email, talking about all the things around email. Like, I enjoy it. We got to have fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, wanted to bring you on today. Some changes that are coming up, some things that are being enforced in the near future. And, you know, it's good to have somebody from the source kind of providing us some feedback and, you know, kind of clearing the air on some of this stuff. Marcel, would you mind giving us a little bit of a preview of what's going to be happening in the new year?
Yeah, totally. And I'm not sure what is happening in the new year.
Yeah. Well, we were informed back in October there's going to be some new requirements that are going to be enforced around the February timeframe.
Yeah. We can sum it up real quick. It's going to be three changes: authentication, authentication, authentication.
Yes.
That is pretty much it. So I think my work is done.
Okay. All right. Good game, everybody. Yeah. High fives. Thanks, all everybody. The way around. All right.
I want to say nothing is really happening in terms of how we handle and treat email. Right? Because all of these things which we jointly announced with Gmail are really things which we have talked about and put out there and documented as sending best practices or requirements for a long time, like in some cases, you know, a decade. When we really break them down, these three things, which are you need to authenticate your email, you need to make sure that provide an easy unsubscribe option to users. And of course, you need to stay under a certain spam mode threshold. Like, these are things we wanted senders or senders should be doing for a long time already. And when you look at them, they're not unreasonable. In my book, they make a, you know, a ton of sense. They're no brainers. We really come at this from the customer experience perspective, right? We want to make sure that our users have the best possible experience. They get the emails they actually want. And we help them get rid of the emails they do not want, right? And when we look at these requirements, authenticating your email so we really understand, like, who the heck are you, right? Helping users to get rid of email, that's where the unsubscribe stuff comes from. And also making sure people get the emails they actually ask for and they don't get any crap in their inbox, that's where the spam votes stuff comes from.
Yeah, because I know, like, I definitely hate when I have to unsubscribe from something and it's just like, okay, you don't want to see this anymore. Can you please write us a letter, send it directly? You'll hear back from us in about 3 weeks. We'll let you know if you get off that. But then they're hitting me up like every twice a day for the next 3 weeks, you know?
Precisely. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of covered, like, right, the why is definitely within that statement, you know, trying to get better, right? As a community, I think everybody needs to get a little bit better with email. Like, it's what we always strive toward and what we always think about whenever we're framing context for the podcast is how do we improve as senders, right? How does the sending community get better at doing what we should all be doing, being good participants here? And, you know, when it comes to this and the changes that are being made, I think that the outstanding question is, and you may not have an answer for this, and in this, we may get into the theoretical and opinions and things like that, but the why now? Like, is there any inclination as to, like, the why today? You said you've been talking about this for about 10 years. Like, what's that triggering point that says, like, hey, let's do this now?
Yes, to your point, right? We can get very philosophical about it and probably spend like an entire evening somewhere to chat about these things. But I remember being on stage somewhere probably 10 years ago where we talked about, with Google folks as well, where we talked about no auth, no entry, right? And we said, this is something we should be driving for. This is something we should be working towards because it makes a ton of sense. Being able to identify who is sending an email in a positive way just helps, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that if you authenticate your email, you know, A, you get a path into your inbox or we can identify you as a spammer. that's not really the case. But it really, you know, points or helps us identify who you are and then assign the reputation to your identity. And if you send good stuff and people want your email, right, then it's a very positive signal and we can identify it. If you send crap and people don't want that, it also helps us to identify that, right? It makes it just easier for us to help our users get the best experience, help in spam fighting, and also, quite frankly, free up some of the resources. And as we progressed through the last decade, this problem just got worse in a way because the email volume keeps increasing. The amount of emails people have to wade through and deal with keeps increasing, right? We all know this from our own experience, right? There's just a lot of noise in the mailbox. And maybe I wanted it, maybe I did not. And then there are bad actors trying to piggyback on, you know, somebody's supposedly good reputation or leveraging good reputation of certain sending platforms, right? There's a lot of spam coming out from large cloud providers. And at some point, we on the mailbox provider side, right, we just said, okay, that's enough. We need to do something to help us help our users to get to that better user experience. And we also need to help us in a way, or we need senders to help us, help them to get to the inbox, like if they're a good sender, but also keep the crap out at some point. And we believe that the technology was there and has been there for some time. And we also believe that based on the conversations we had within the industry or working groups within the industry like Mark and others, that the sending community should be ready to support these changes from a pure technology perspective. So we did not see any reasons why, you know, anybody should not be able to do these things, which we have been around as best practice. But the adoption was still very, very small because that's the part we can debate, right? Incentives, cost, why is that? But we said, okay, let's just put a stake in the ground and just say, if you want to send marketing email, if you want to get into the user's inbox, here are the things you need to follow beyond just the basic technical requirements, which people have to follow already.
That's awesome. And I think it covers so many things that I think even from our perspective, right, from the sending side and the people that we know and the people that we've communicated with, I know I've told senders so much like, hey, do this authentication piece. It's one of those things that I know is helpful, that it helps the community at large. I think incentive after incentive that's been put out there, you would think, hey, there's going to be adoption. Bitme's coming out. There's going to be an adoption there. Yeah. Like this, you know, making it easier, you know, making it so much simpler for people to adopt it. And it still hasn't had an adoption. And one of the things that I want to point out from what you said, because like, it's really one of the things that resonates with me. And whenever I talk to somebody that is doing sending at any capacity, I always say that the ISP's responsibility is to their user base. So if you're not respecting what you're doing and what you're sending, like to respect their user base, they have to do what they need to do to respect their own user base, to help their user base, to make sure that their user base is protected. And we have to be good citizens in how things are being sent out and make sure that we're doing the right things in what we're sending to play within that sandbox. Like it's definitely something that, you know, it's a privilege, it's not a right. And you need to do the right things to do that. So like, I just kind of wanted to touch on that because like, it really does resonate with me and I feel validated. I feel heard, you know, when I hear it like that, because it is one of those things that like,
And then
you have a responsibility.
To add to that, I like to say, it's not just our user base, right? It's our mutual user base, right? As a brand and sender reaching out to our users, it's also their users and they should have, you know, their best interest or best user experience in mind as well, right? We are in this boat together at the end of the day. And if we can work together to create that great experience, and we're consumers too. Like we do this internally. Like I ask people when they come up with an idea or a suggestion, it's like, would you use that? And if not, why?
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So put yourself in the user's shoes or, you know, just be a user. And we are all consumers as well. Like, would you love to click on that email? Would you love to actually receive these emails? And if not, why not?
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems to be like an early ongoing theme with this season is just be human, right? Like if it's right by you and you would do it, you know, then yes. But if it feels weird, don't do it, which is, I think, a story for life, I feel, in general.
Yep.
Putting yourself, you know, in the recipient's shoes, right, in the user's shoes, I think is definitely a big part of that. When it comes to that sending piece, you know, as people are getting ready and preparing, I know there's been a lot of questions. I'm sure if you're not already tired of talking about this, I'm just wondering how tired you're going to be by February, you know, talking about this topic, because I know everybody's got a lot of questions and it seems to be the same repeating questions over and over, which I know we're going to ask again here. But like, you know, when it comes to user preparation, like I know there's different things that we're already talking about. We're talking about that authentication piece, but what are the key things that people can start doing now, start doing today to get ready for this change to happen?
Most of these things should be things people should have been doing for a long time, like authenticate your email, put an unsubscribe link in there, monitor your spam load rates. I think what you should be doing now is all of these things effectively. If you do not understand or do not know how to properly authenticate your email or what DMARC really is or how DMARC really works, go find an expert, right? There are so many resources out there. And the bulk of questions we really get is around authentication. What do I need to sign? How does DKIM work? What does it mean when a domain needs to align, right? These are all things I would love to answer. And, you know, there are other experts out there, the companies out there, and they're happy to take money or even folks sharing advice for free, right? And there are free resources available as well and have been for decades in these cases. So go out, educate yourself, really understand what authentication means. Likewise with unsubscribe. This technology is not new, has been there for some time, has been documented. Go read up on it, what it really means. What is one-click unsubscribe? What does the RFC 8058 actually say? How does it work? All of these things.
Thank you for calling that out. For the most part, I think a lot of us here have made a career of people paying for that advice, you know, and paying for those experts. I know from even my side, like I definitely have written internal articles on how some of this stuff works, what it all means, you know, like when it comes to SPF and DKIM and like how to put that together and make sure that, you know, DMARC then ends up being aligned. And I've done that internally and I'm willing to share that knowledge. And I know I've helped contribute to blog posts that we have like on our website. We can go get those free resources to say, okay, how do I do this? What are the things I need to consider and how do I implement it correctly? But I think it is definitely one of those things where talking to an expert really does help out. And I don't know if anybody else has done this out there listening to this podcast, but reading RFC articles and guidelines, I know it's not the funnest thing. I'm one of those crazy people that I'll go there and digest it. And I like to know and understand, you know, from a technical level and a technical perspective of what I need to do. But if you have the capability and desire to do that, like that is 100%, like that's going to be the most helpful thing. But there's always experts out there who are ready to help digest what that means and then what it takes to implement that, right, at any different level. And depending on who you're sending with, I know we talk about things from a mailgun perspective here.
That's key as well, right? I don't expect that the marketeer should go and read an RFC and really understand the nuances, right? I don't necessarily expect the marketeer to really understand what does it really mean to sign the list unsubscribe headers with your DKIM signature and all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. What I would love is for companies like you or other tool providers really to step up and say, hey, we can solve this in code because I believe it's totally solvable. We can make this really as simple as, you know, literally just click a button, you send your stuff like as you normally do, and we do the heavy lifting in the background. You don't need to worry about any of that. And I see that happening with a lot of companies out there. I also understand that a lot of edge cases and things were like, oh, we really need to look at how does this work? How would we solve for that? And I'm really happy to engage in these conversations as well, which is one of the reasons why, and if you ask like, why February or why now, right? One of the reasons why I actually did not give a date from the Yahoo perspective was precisely that. I did not want to say, hey, by February, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and we expect everybody to be in compliance. I want to engage in conversations and understand, what are the edge cases? Are there any cases which we do not see? Are there any use cases where we need to work together with the sending community to maybe find a solution which helps these good senders to get the email to our initial customers, right? Because that's the experience we want to preserve. We want to be humans at the end of the day and make sure we don't disrupt it unnecessarily. But at the same time, we still want to put a stake in the ground, right? This is not open-ended. We're okay, you know, let's have this conversation for another 10 years and, you know, maybe then something will happen or maybe not, right? No, we want to put a little bit of pressure on the industry.
It definitely takes a lot of mutual respect from all parties involved, right? Like with any good relationship, it's going to take work and open communication. But that's great that y'all aren't flipping the switch, ka-chunk, like everything is going to be stopped right here, but understanding what senders are going through and hearing what the community has to say about some of these issues.
And of course, some of these things are also easier to enforce and implement, right? And easier to be understood on the sending side, right? Like authentication, like Gmail already started enforcing some of these things. And I'm sure you, as well as other senders, have seen that already, right? Because that's binary. You either authenticate or you don't. Some of the other things are a little harder to enforce without, you know, causing collateral damage, like be it the unsubscribe link or the spam load rates and things like that.
That's one of the things that we appreciate from our side, just to call that part of it out, right? You know, you coming here and talking with us, and that people have the opportunity to hear this, you know, from the sending community, for all the senders out there that are really trying to do the right things, that know that, you know, first of all, that they're informed that there is going to be changes and there's going to be things that are going on. I think that's just a nice thing to still see in the email community, that we have this participation from all sides, and that we can help, you know, from our perspective, like we're able to help, like we're hopefully doing a service by doing this podcast and making sure that, you know, the word is heard and that people know and understand what's going on and get ready and start preparing for those kind of things. One of those things that we, I think, should be ready for, that everybody is mostly prepared for. It's just a matter of like making sure that all the senders get a chance to hear it and are fully, fully ready. So I know we're trying to do our part for sure. Do you have any inclination on like how much this is already going to do as far as removing some of the sending from the platform, or things that we know are going to fail? Because I know one of the big things that people should have already been aware of and people should have been doing is the spoofing thing. Like they have should have stopped that already. We asked people to stop doing that already. And I know there's the ignorant spoofing where they just don't know that they shouldn't be doing that, you know, still impersonating domains like Gmail and Yahoo and just sending from their personal email address, but they're sending bulk messages out to customers that they really shouldn't be doing because it's coming from a different platform. But then there's also the ones, you know, we know they're sharing a space and doing things like that where they're, you know, unintentionally spoofing, but they're still doing the spoofing thing. Like, do you have any idea of like how big of an impact that will be?
Yeah, so leveraging or using consumer domains for bulk email is really not in so much an issue on the Yahoo side, since we have had a DMARC reject policy since 2014 already. It is a huge issue for Gmail. I don't want to speak too much for them. I welcome that they now finally aren't using this, because their platform is a major emitter of spam or unwanted emails using the Gmail consumer domain. But I want to concentrate a little bit more on the inbound policies, like having senders leverage DMARC and these things. And that's one reason why, for DMARC specifically, yes, we would love for everybody to protect their brand from being spoofed, but also help users to really make sure that if they get an email from a specific brand, they can be reasonably sure that this is actually from this brand. And that's what DMARC is designed for. But you also realize that this is a little harder to actually implement. And that's one of the reasons why we started with this simple requiring authentication, SPF and DKIM is the first step, and publish a policy of none, and actually monitor reports, because that is the very first step to actually understand your own sending best practices and who is sending the emails on your behalf, and the very first step in fixing whatever might be broken there.
That's a real good point. I know that it gets a little technical, you know, kind of understanding the DMARC policy and what the policy enforcement means, and then the reports that come back from that. But I know we previewed a little bit of this episode in our previous episode, and to preview a little bit more into the future, we definitely have experts that are coming in talking a little bit more about that stuff. And, you know, we want to make sure that stuff is heard, because there's some really great companies out there doing some really good work on what that means and, you know, helping people implement that and process those things, because it's super important, you know, knowing and understanding what's happening with your email, who's sending as you. I think I would want to know if somebody was trying to impersonate me out there in the world. So, you know, that's definitely one of the big things for sure. And when it comes to like a DMARC and SPF piece, I know most senders are already covered with that. They're already doing, most ESPs at least, right, are sending with that already implemented. I know a lot of the smaller providers are even starting to implement that and make sure that they have that posted on there. And then the next piece down is the, you know, the unsubscribe portion. And I just kind of want to unpack that a little bit too, and just like what that means and what exactly is being monitored on there. Because I know that there's certain things we can't do, some things that are automated and some things that are beyond the automation point that are take a little bit more. So if you can expand just a little bit on that portion.
Yeah, totally. And to really clarify what the requirements say, because that's the other bulk of questions we're getting. What does it mean, one click unsubscribe? I already have a link in my body. Is this one click unsubscribe? Or if I put the list headers in there, what about bots and all of these? So when we talk about requiring list one click list unsubscribe or one click unsubscribe, we're very specifically talking about putting list unsubscribe post headers into the header of an email. That is what is specified by RFC 8058. Thank you very much.
Yeah. There you go.
need to keep my RFCs straight here. I've been saying that too so much in the last days.
It becomes a string of numbers now.
Yeah. And essentially what this means is, if you're sending an email to an email provider or an email application which understands the RPC 8058, that you will see within the UI of the email application, you see a little unsubscribe affordance, right? So this is what Microsoft's doing, what Google is doing, this is what we are doing, this is what Apple is doing, right? You probably have all seen this somewhere. And it really helps to just, you know, shove a button in the user's face if you want to, where we tell them, like, you know, if you really want to get rid of this, here's a way to do this easily and very conveniently without having to mark email as spam, because that would actually be the alternative option for a user. And we've seen this over and over again. A user is not sitting there and saying, hey, I don't want this email anymore. Let me see where I can find this unsubscribe link in the body. And then let me click on this. And then let me follow through all the hurdles and hoops and whatever I need to do on that web page. No, nobody's doing that. Like, this is too hard. I want to get rid of this email. I just hit this is spam button. And that's why we want to make it easy. But at the same time, we also don't want to penalize the senders unnecessarily, right? If this is a legit email somebody subscribed to, hopefully, and they want to get rid of, we don't want them to mark it as spam, which can hurt the reputation of the sender at the end of the day, right? Yeah. We want them to unsubscribe. And we have seen by implementing this unsubscribe affordance in the UI, or even telling receivers when they actually hit mark as spam, we have a page where we say, hey, do you want to unsubscribe instead if the sender meets the requirements? We have seen the spam modes go down and being reduced by 30 to 40%. So I think this is a win-win situation, right? Better user experience. Right. Also better for senders. That's why we, as well as Gmail, acquired that going forward. At the same time, the other part of that requirement is the honoring unsubscribes after 2 days. Because even though some senders have this nice little affordance in the header, they do not respect it, right? So a user clicks on this, they trust us that, you know, we're doing this the right way. But then they come to us and complain, hey, you know, I clicked on unsubscribe for this one brand, but I keep receiving emails from them, right? Not a great experience.
No.
We are violating users' trust. The brand is violating the user's trust in this case, right? Not great. And that's why we basically said, like, look, yes, from a can-spam perspective, you can wait 10 days. Is this reasonable? Is this what a user would expect? Probably not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So unsubscribing immediately, yeah, maybe reasonable. So, you know, let's say 2 days. That's probably reasonable, right? That's also something a user could reasonably expect.
As the technology has improved, there's so many spaces that as soon as they hit that button, it's all automated. They're immediately off of that list. And I think it's definitely, you know, warranted. And yeah, like the can spam hasn't changed in quite a while when it comes to that portion of it. So, I mean, it's definitely, I'm sure, warranted a review at the very least, you know, and 2 days, I think is definitely reasonable. Like I definitely don't see a problem with that. That's definitely good to have.
You brought up a good point regarding the spam rates themselves. If they are over like a 0.3%, that's a little bit higher than what we enforce on our end. Is that over? I know you talked about this in the past, but just to kind of reiterate some of these points for other users that haven't heard you before, is that over a specific time range or how does that look on your end?
Let me address the number first. We also get a lot of questions like, why is 0.3%? And oh my God, am I able to meet that? Basically chose 0.3% because there are other companies and programs out there that's the requirement for them already, right? So we're basically just aligning. Then also internally, that could be a threshold where if your traffic sustains a spam mode rate, you know, above 0.3%, you're probably already in the world of hurt anyway, right? Because internally, we actually look at, you know, much, much, much smaller numbers. But it is a number which resonates with the industry, and that's why we've chosen it and we just made it public. It's also not a new thing, right? If people say, or if people ask us, like, okay, is this a new policy? Why doing this? I'm like, no, it's not new. We always have looked at spam mode rates internally, right? If you have this high spam mode rate already, you're probably already seeing deferrals on the Yahoo side, right? You're probably already seeing bounces of spam forwarding on the Gmail side. That is already happening. All we did is just put a number out there so you can actually monitor that a little bit better. The other question of, like, what's the time frame you're looking at? So I put this out as a joke in a way, but it's still true. It's more than a day, less than a year. If you hit a peak for some whatever reason, right? You make a mistake on the sender side, or somebody decides to mark all your email as spam and you hit like 1% spam mode rates or whatever. We will not hold this against you, right? We will look at a reasonable amount of time, you know, weeks, months to see what the volume is. If you constantly hover around that threshold, you're probably doing something wrong. And you already know that you're doing something wrong, right? So you should start doing something right. If you usually have good rates and then there's an outlier, like nothing would happen.
Not going to get struck down. Right on. It's good to hear. It's good to know. Good to know. Right on.
I know when it comes to us, and granted, I know our platform, and we have certain thresholds for spam complaints and complaint rates that we do to, you know, hard disable somebody. But when it comes to the advice that we're giving people is to be far below that. And one of the things that I've liked to tell people in the past is, hey, if you're not seeing any spam complaints, that's probably not a good thing. Like there's going to be some level of people that are, you know, those people that are going to be really unhappy, they're going to hit that button. But the only way they can hit that button is if the message is already going into the inbox. And the reason that came to mind is because I know that that's where the calculation is coming from, right? Like we don't have visibility necessarily into everything that's going into the inbox, but we can make inferences using those kind of methods. But I know when it comes to the spam complaint rate that you're monitoring from the Yahoo side, it's going to be the messages that are going to the inbox already, because that's where people will complain from, and then compare to how many are clicking then the spam button.
Yeah, to clarify, when we talk about spam win rate, it is the number of emails voted as spam versus the number of emails delivered to the inbox. And yes, it can very well be that if most of your emails are going to the spam folder already, your spam win rate might be very small. But at that point in time, you probably already see deferrals from our side, right? You might already see throttling or other issues. And to get there, you had to go through, you know, a world of pain before, right? It's not that this happens all of a sudden. Like there are signals you can look at. There are signals we provide which will tell you that you probably are doing something wrong. Yeah. Also, depending on the platform you're on, like we actually do share inbox placement data. Like you can actually see what emails are going to the inbox versus what emails are going to the spam. What is my actual spam win rate, right? Not inferred. So we do share the data in some cases. Also going forward, we're looking at improving the data or the insights on our Postmaster platform. So you should be able to monitor that a little bit better.
That's awesome.
Sender portal?
We call it Sender Hub.
Sender Hub. Thank you. I was close. I felt it.
Yeah. Postmaster side, whatever you want to call it. Any of these URLs work as well. Postmaster.yahoo.com, postmaster.yahoo.com, senders.yahoo.com, whatever. All of that works.
Awesome. As insight grows, and I know like senders are always curious about that, and you know, the more information you can get from any source is really good. So, you know, we always suggest to do that, you know, just to kind of throw it out there as free advice. When it comes to the error messages, I know there's already failures that we notice and error codes that we kind of pay attention to. This is going to be a whole new set of error codes that are going to be informative of, you know, what exactly is happening and why messages might be deferred or blocked.
Yes, there will be. So for some of the new things, when we talk about unsubscribe, link enforcement, we will have new error codes specifically telling you that, you know, this is being bounced or throttled or whatever because the unsubscribe link is not there, right? Or this is being bounced because you're not authenticating the email, right? You probably already are seeing this with Gmail. And then other areas like your spam won rates, like I said, this is nothing new, right? We just put the number out there, but we're already doing this today. So if you're getting a TSS 04, like that's, I think that's the famous error code, that is most likely because you're close to an unfavorable spam vote rate. Similarly, some of the DNS RFC requirements, we're already rejecting email if your email is not meeting some RFC requirement, and we tell you why.
One of the other ones that I know people have been really fixated on is the 500 message, you know, per day threshold. And
5,000.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I know I've already heard you say this, and I'm going to spit it out. And then just to confirm that I heard you correctly, because sometimes my ears don't work too well. Really that 5,000 messages per day is, you know, kind of like a posted number or something we can kind of like use as a guidance. But if you're sending in bulk to a lot of recipients and, you know, similar messages that are going out, that is going to be bulk sending, that you are considered a bulk sender at that point. Is that right?
You are. And there was a reason why I actually did not put a number out there. So Gmail, they did. And I think might be regretting that. But I think we're aligned, both Gmail and us. So no, there is no hard number. It's not 5,000, it's not 6,000, it's not 4,000, right? For many reasons. One of which is, it's not like when you're sending 4,999 that you don't have to follow any of these requirements, right? No.
Yeah.
If you're sending a lot of the same emails to a lot of people, you're a bulk sender, period. and you will have to meet these requirements. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's in the thousands, right? And people should know if they're a bulk send, right? If you're a small mom and pop shop and maybe you send a few hundred emails or it's just coordinating things, or a small maven that is like, no, you're not a bulk sender. Also, if, because we get these questions as well, like you are a company and you have people sending email, individual emails from the same domain to a lot of other people, right? That's not bulk mail, right? That's people to people messages. Just because you're sending a lot, it's still not bulk mail, right? It's, you're sending the same message to a lot of people, right? Essentially, you printed a flyer and then you're distributing it. Whether you're distributing 1,000 or 10,000, you're still distributing a flyer. That's still marketing stuff.
So just in case people were thinking about gaming the system,
Don't even try.
Yeah, I mean, that's already the thing as well, right? So snowshoeing and all of these things, that's already happening where people think, hey, if I sent the same message from like 5,000 different IP addresses, nobody will notice. Like, no, we will find you. You're still a bulk sender, right?
Yeah.
It's funny the way that that logic tends to spread around. Like, think they've outsmarted the system, but really, no.
One more shot. I know we're coming up here on time. I wanted to say again, thanks just for coming out and speaking with us today. If people want to find out more information, I know we have the Sender Hub, but any other documentation that people should review out there?
Yeah, I would say, watch the space, watch our blog, blog.postmaster.yaoinc.com, I believe. Otherwise, go to senders.yaoinc.com. There, we will be updating this best practices page with the actual requirements soon, within the next couple of weeks. Like I said, we wanted to wait for a little bit more input. I was vague on purpose on the blog post, but we will put more details on there. Otherwise, already go to the Sender Hub. There are all the best practices, like essentially all the requirements we have, which we will be enforcing, are already documented there. And there are links to what does DKIM mean? How does DMARC work? What's SPF, right? The RFC 8058, how does it work? All of that is already documented, right? You don't have to wait for us to update this. Plus, you know, Gmail page, same thing. They have a very, very good page up there with links to more information. And go there right now and read through it.
Yeah, don't wait.
Yeah. Act now. Yeah. Well, once you confirm that, Marcel Thomas will put it in our show notes here. He'll be able to distribute that information nationwide. Thomas, if people want to find out where this documentation can be found, where can they go?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you can also reach out to us and look at the podcast at mailgun.com/resources/podcast. We will make sure that we have these resources and links that Marcel was talking about today in the show description, so you can follow along, stay up to date with all these things coming down the line. And with that being said, up next, we're going to have Chad White talking about his new book and talking about the email marketing side of this update and how it's going to affect email marketers and stuff like that. And then after, we're going to have our friends over from Demartian on to talk about the DMARC side of this whole update. So stick around and make sure you're still listening.
Right on. Again, Marcel, thanks again for your time. Appreciate you. And hopefully we'll see you in the Bay soon.
Thank you. And looking forward to it. And more philosophical conversation.
Love yeah.
I love it.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
This has been a Mailgun production, an email delivery service focused on providing better deliverability for developers and businesses alike, with over 150,000 customers. Learn more at mailgun.com.